In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is the first lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in Moses' book of Exodus, beginning at the 19th chapter, the 2nd verse. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." This is God's word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, what creates a crowd? Could be a national holiday. Last Thursday, a crowd of thousands of people gathered together downtown at Civic Square for Carmel Fest. Could be a fire. My daughter sent me a picture last night of she and some friends gathered around a campfire that just seems to draw people. Or if there's a big fire, lots of fire trucks, people tend to gather in a crowd. Or how about a family reunion? Or a baptism? They draw a crowd. The Exodus from Egypt, 3 months prior, gathered this crowd of the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai in the desert. To put it another way, it wasn't just the Exodus that created the crowd. They were there for really one reason and one reason only. And they were there loaded down with the plunder that they took from Egypt. And they were camped there safe from all of their enemies. All of those things are true for one reason: God's love for them. And the same is true for us. We are both redeemed along with the rest of the world, and we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, called to faith by the Holy Spirit, as Chase was this morning, for one reason, and one reason alone. We are the creation of God's love. And we'll see three things about being the creation of God's love this morning. First of all, God's love brought judgment on all of our enemies. And God's love has carried us on eagle's wings. And God's love motivates us to obey fully His commandments. Enemies appear in all manner of types and sizes. In a wedding sermon text last week, we heard the Apostle Paul ask this question: if trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, if any of those enemies could separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Then we heard the Apostle answer his own question. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Israelites were in the desert of Sinai at the foot of Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, because God's love had judged their enemies. They had overcome and conquered their enemy of famine, as God originally had brought Jacob's family to Egypt through Joseph. When they began to grow large, Pharaoh enslaved them. They conquered that hardship as God sent 10 plagues and Pharaoh let God's people go. When they left Egypt, the Egyptian army chased them and God's people conquered the enemies of persecution and the sword. As God first of all hid these 2 million men, women, and children from the Egyptian army with a big fog, with the cloud of his glory. And then he drowned all of them along with their swords in the Red Sea as his people passed through on dry ground. Aaron and Hur had held up Moses' hands and they conquered the Amalekites. God had given them manna from heaven and water from a rock. And in the future, even though they would have to wander around in the desert for 40 years because of their sin, they would conquer the enemy of nakedness as their clothing and shoes never wore out. God's judgment defeated all of these enemies of his and his people. God's love brought judgment on them. And so he created them as this people there. God's love also has brought judgment on our enemies in that regard. When is the last time you endured a famine? When's the last time you had to walk around naked because you didn't have any clothes? When's the last time anybody stuck a sword in your face or threatened to behead you or crucify you for being a Christian? God has delivered us from all of our enemies with his judgment. You and I have food and drink, clothing and shoes, good government, good weather, peace, and prosperity. God has judged all of our enemies so that we enjoy all those blessings in life as more than conquerors. And God has created us as his people by his love as he defeated and conquered our sin by being holy under the commandments for us. God has defeated and judged our enemy of death by giving up his very life into death on the cross and then rising again from the dead. God has delivered us from our enemy, the devil, as he overcame Satan in the wilderness and every day of his life and destroyed Satan's power over us. We are the creation of God's love. God has judged and judges every day our enemies in Christ and defeats them. God gives us everything that we include in our daily bread. And he gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ. God's love to us that creates us applies, doesn't it, to the first commandment. God didn't just make us his people by creating us, but he takes care of us. God's love is ours in the second article of the Creed, as we confess Jesus who redeemed us. God's love created us not only as people, but also as His people. God gave life, new life, to Chase. God gave him new spiritual life today in the Word of God connected to water. The Lord would take that group of people and He would, of all the nations on the earth, simply by grace, make them His own. He said, I will make you my treasured possession. I have carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The picture of eagle's wings is a mother eagle hovering and carrying her chicks as she lets them loose for the first time to fly on their own. And she is over them, watching them, caring for them, protecting them from their enemies. God had not delivered the Israelites from Egypt so that they could say, great, now we're on our own. Now we're our own people. We can do what we want. We're free to be whoever and whatever we want. God said, no, I freed you and I have carried you on eagle's wings to myself. I have brought you to me. And if you obey everything I have commanded you, then I will make you my treasured possession. I will make you a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We recognize this as the two-way covenant of the law. God did not make this covenant with any individual in Israel. This was a covenant that He made with the entire nation. A covenant, of course, that they would later break. But even then, for the individual Israelite, the previous covenant of love, of God's love that God gave to Abraham, was in force. So even when the nation did not hold up their end of the covenant, and they ceased to be God's people, because they broke that covenant of the law, under the covenant of the gospel, the individual believers continued to be carried on eagle's wings to God, as He continued to care for them and provide for them physically and spiritually. Now, it's different for you and I in the New Testament church because we don't live under any laws. God gave Israel those laws really for three reasons. First of all, there was a fence that God put around His people, His nation, to keep them pure in preparation of the birth of the Savior. It was also meant to be a shadow of what was to come in Christ. And it was meant to be a tutor. Any of you who've ever lived in a dormitory know what a tutor is and does. Or if you maybe struggled with a particular subject in school. A tutor is someone who helps to train you and teach you because you're immature and you don't yet know quite what you're doing. Israel as a nation didn't quite know what they were doing yet as God's people. And so God gave them the moral, ceremonial, and civil law that would train them and teach them and foreshadow for them the coming of the Savior. You and I are living in the fulfillment of all of that. And so we no longer have those laws. And yet God continues to carry us on eagle's wings. He carries us by being our creator and preserver, as we sang in our sermon hymn. God watches over us and through His angels takes care of us. But in a very real way, He also carries us on the eagle's wings of the means of grace, of the gospel and word and sacrament. as He carries us from out of our slavery to sin and our living in unbelief and carries us into the kingdom of God. God carries us on eagle's wings by the Spirit into the church. So God, we are the creation of God's love. As God the Father creates and preserves us, we are the creation of God's love as the Redeemer paid for all of our sins on the cross and rose again for our justification. And we are the creation of God's love as God the Holy Spirit sanctifies us as He calls us out of unbelief and into faith. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we think about this Trinity season, as we think about in this Pentecost season, all three of those persons have carried us on eagle's wings out of slavery to Himself. And as a result of that, God creates us by His love and motivates us to obey fully His commandments. How did the people respond to this good news in this bilateral covenant of law? We will do everything the Lord has said. God's people, united in heart and voice, promise to uphold their end of the bilateral covenant. They didn't. And they stopped being God's chosen people. But for the individual Israelite believer, he never looked on the law that was soon to be given him on Mount Sinai as the way to be saved. The Israelite who believed in the promise given to Abraham never looked on the Ten Commandments or the ceremonial law or the civil law as the way to be saved. But rather, he or she looked to that promise that God gave to Abraham. And that was the motivation, to obey everything that God had said. And so even though the visible people of God's nation ceased to exist as His choice, the individuals chosen by His grace who believed in that promise of the Savior, they continued to live in that forgiveness and under that promise. Like Israel, we are the creation of God's love. You and I want to keep the Ten Commandments. We don't have to worry about the civil law or the ceremonial law because it doesn't apply anymore. And even the moral law doesn't condemn us, doesn't threaten us anymore because we're forgiven in Christ, still guides us, still curbs our sinful nature, still shows us that we're sinners. But we don't think, do we, that we're going to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments? We don't believe that we're right in God's sight by some bilateral covenant where if we do our part, God will do His. We are the creation of God's love. God has loved us in Christ, while we were still sinners when He died for us. And so that's our motivation. That's our desire now to obey fully God's commandments. An eagle soaring above a desert landscape is a beautiful picture of God's care for His people. You and I are part of a crowd. A crowd of millions of men, women, and children here and around the world who believe and confess that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We exist around the gospel in word and sacrament, around that new covenant sealed in Christ's blood. We are here, gathered at the foot of this altar, for one reason, and only one reason, we are the creation of God's love. Amen.